In a large color ad taken out in Life magazine in 1962 by ExxonMobil's precursor, Humble Oil, a small, smartly dressed cartoon character saluted a photograph of a majestic glacier. Each day, Humble supplies enough energy to melt 7 million tons of glacier, the ad's headline declared. Such was the John F. Kennedy era of scientific optimism, as marketed by Madison Avenue. 4 decades later, of course, many scientists regarded the retreat of glaciers and mankind's unembarrassed capacity to melt them as signs of a slowly unfolding global catastrophe. Of the 144 glaciers monitored by researchers between 1900 and 1980, 2 advanced and 142 retreated, an indicator of the Earth's warming surface temperature during the 20th century. Climate change became a galvanizing priority of science and public policy in a remarkably short time. It took less than 2 decades from the time of Humble's ice-melting ad campaign for Exxon's executives to recognize that climate change would arrive as a public policy challenge in Washington and other global capitals, and that it might undermine the corporation's business model. Characteristically, Exxon began to prepare itself well before the phrase global warming saturated public consciousness. The greenhouse effect is a natural process in which sunlight is trapped by the planet's atmosphere. Without it, the Earth would be very cold. The question that scientists gradually examined during the 20th century was whether additional gases released by the clearing of forests and the burning of fossil fuels, coal, oil, and natural gas, accelerated the greenhouse effect. It was not until the 1950s and 1960s that a few scientists began to document credibly that human activity was releasing more and more carbon dioxide, a greenhouse gas, and that warming might be the result. Their findings did not immediately stick. The Earth's climate had undulated across millennia. Orbital variations, the intensity of sunlight, and other natural factors had produced alternating ice ages and periods of boiling seas long before the rise of smokestacks and automobiles. Scientists remained divided as late as the 1970s about essential questions, such as whether the Earth was warming markedly, whether a warming or cooling trend posed the greatest future danger, and how human and industrial activity fit into the picture. James Hansen, an astrophysicist at the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, was among the first scientists to call attention to the danger that greenhouse gas emissions could produce dramatic warming within a relatively short time. His and other work prompted the first National Academy of Sciences examination in 1979. The Academy's study group found that if man-made CO2 emissions from coal-burning electricity plants, automobile exhaust, truck fumes, airplane exhaust, deforestation, and other sources continued to grow, there was no reason to doubt that climate changes will result, and no reason to believe that these changes will be negligible. As the chairman of a study for the National Research Council's Climate Research Board, which commissioned the report, put it, the findings might be disturbing to policymakers because a wait-and-see policy may mean waiting until it is too late. The National Academy report attracted Exxon's attention. Any effort to tax, limit, or eliminate carbon dioxide emissions on environmental grounds would have obvious implications for the corporation's business model. Exxon emitted tens of millions of metric tons of carbon dioxide in the course of its own oil production, refining, chemical manufacturing, and electricity-generating operations. Not only did the corporation burn carbon-laden fuels at many stages of its operations, it then sold such fuels for profit to other users who also burned them. In 1980, just after the publication of the National Academy study, the corporation hired its own astrophysicist, Brian Flannery, who had taught at Harvard University. A few years later, Flannery recruited a chemical engineer named Harun Keshki, who had worked at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. Flannery and Keshki started to produce, while salaried employees for Exxon, peer-reviewed research for the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC. This was a network of many dozens of mostly academic and government scientists established to produce definitive assessments, at multi-year intervals, of the scientific evidence about global warming. Exxon's climate scientists also used corporate funds to support climate modeling research at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. They produced internal assessments of the scientific and policy questions for Exxon's management committee. In the early years of this Exxon climate work, constructing an accurate model of future Earth temperatures seemed daunting. When Flannery arranged contracts with the MIT climate modelers, he told them, by his own account, "Embrace the uncertainty in all of this."